the forgiveness of sins. Number one, its premise. Number two, its promise. Number three, its practice. Mrs. Hambleton came from the Dingle in Liverpool. She was a believing woman and a praying woman. But she had a wayward son. His name was John. And John had made up his mind he was to have nothing to do with her religion. He decided he would become a prodigal. He would turn his back and go his own way. He decided he would sail to Australia, do some gold mining. Then he found out that as a Scouse lad, he had a sense of humor. He had the ability to do some acting and to recite some poetry. So he went into the theater. He decided he would move among the circles of the lewd and the rude and the crude and the reckless and the riotous. After he got fed up of Australia, he went to California. Went into the music halls. He wanted champagne and caviar. He wanted wine, women, and song. Yet through all that period of his life, his mother continued to pray for him. If you're a mother, continue to pray for your children. 17 years later, he arrived back in Liverpool. He'd had no contact with his mother. He found that his mother had died. And his conscience was on fire. He wrote a poem. Conscience like an adder stingeth. All my wasted past upbringeth. If I could that demon cure, half my misery would be o'er. Round my heart that demon coileth, 'tis the worm that never dieth, gnawing, gnawing, gnawing at my bosom's door. The hound of heaven was after him. Eventually, in utter brokenness and utter ruin, he came to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and received the pardon of sin and knew that he had become a Christian, went to the box in Liverpool and proclaimed a savior of sinners. He knew that he was forgiven. Do you know for sure that you are forgiven? Don't we need forgiveness? The Bible says, God dwells in light unto which none approach. The Bible says, he is a poorer eyes than to behold iniquity and cannot look on sin. The Bible says, all of us, without exception, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None righteous, no, not one. And even the prophets said, yes, ancient prophets who were the mouthpiece of the Almighty said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, dwelling amongst the people of unclean lips, but my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Job, the most perfect man on the planet, said, I am vile. Remember what Peter said? The pillar of the New Testament church, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Do you remember what Paul said, the great apologist and missionary and trailblazer of the gospel? This is a true and faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. If you're listening to this sermon, there is no higher moral ground for you or for me. There is no place for a holier-than-thouism. Because the plain fact of the matter is, the Bible tells us God is omniscient. He knows all things. He sees all things. He is omnipresent. He fills the heavens and the earth. So the very moment we think a thought that's sinful, speak a word that's sinful, do an act that's sinful, leave undone what we need to do, we are doing it in the very presence of God. I believe there is a gravestone found in a cemetery just outside of New York with a name, no date of birth, no date of death, no eulogy, just the word forgiven. What a beautiful word is forgiveness. Isn't it? What's its premise? What's its foundation? The premise of forgiveness is the character of the triune God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. In our Bible reading this evening, from Psalm 130, this psalm of ascents, as they're going up to Jerusalem, there's some debate about who wrote this psalm. But if it's a psalm of David, it's very easy to place it in its context. Out of the depths have I cried unto you, O God. Lord, hear my prayer. Let your ear be attentive to the voice of my supplication. For if you should mark iniquity, who could stand? Omniscient God who sees and knows all things. Omnipresent God in whose very presence we live our lives. If you were to get your register out, all our thoughts, all our words, all our secrets, all our fantasies, all our lies. All the things we've done we shouldn't do. All the things we left undone we should have done. Who could stand? But there is forgiveness with God that he may be feared. The only place forgiveness is found is in the character of the triune God. God the Father, there is forgiveness with God. God the Son, upon the cross of Calvary, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God the Holy Spirit, grieve the Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, along with all malice, and be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. As God in Christ also forgave you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, a God of forgiveness. That's its premise. It's when broken men and women come to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the apostle in the book of Ephesians tells us there is redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. When we stop pretending that we are what we're not, and we get broken in the presence of God and admit what we are, and look not to ourselves, not to our acts, not to our good deeds, but come to the rock of ages. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked look to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul, vile, I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. That is the premise of the forgiveness of sins. Number two, its promise. You see, I meet Christians who find that they cannot forgive themselves and have no real assurance somehow that their sins, even their secret sins, even their habitual sins, are truly forgiven. I would like you to put up your hand, honestly, if you've ever read right through Pilgrim's Progress. That's a handful. Everybody should read Pilgrim's Progress. In the years gone by in this church, we've many a time gone through Pilgrim's Progress. Here is Christian and his friend. They're on the way to the celestial city. They fall asleep in Bypath Meadow. Soon, they're in the clutches of giant despair. They're taken to the castle, doubting castle. They're thrown into the dungeon. And then giant despair speaks to his wife, Diffidence, who's a horror. Ladies, don't be a horror. She says, beat them. So he beats them. Day after day, there is no hope until Christian pulls out the key. He says, this is the key of promise. With this key, I can unlock the doors of doubt, fear, and guilt, and shame, and lostness, and get back onto the King's highway. The promises of God are the keys of assurance that our sins are forgiven. Let's look at some of them, shall we? 1 John. Here's what we're told. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a promise. Claim it. Listen to David. After he's fallen from a great height to a great depth, after the sweet psalmist of Israel, head and shoulders above anyone else, is on the balcony looking out, and there's beautiful Bathsheba, no clothes on. I want that woman. He gets that woman. That woman becomes pregnant. He tries to hide it. He brings Uriah back, the Hittite, a trusted ally. He does all sorts of things to get Uriah to sleep with his wife. But you know what? Uriah drunk has far more integrity than David does at this point in time. Eventually, he arranged for the death of Uriah the Hittite and thinks he's gotten away with it. Listen, friends. The Christian church is full of people who Monday through to Saturday, their lives are horrific, who wear their halos on a Sunday. Till Nathan the prophet comes and says, you are the man. Then with a broken and contrite heart, he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my sin. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Then out of the depths I have cried unto you, O Lord. If you should mark iniquity, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you. And now here in Psalm 32, I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Claim it. Listen to the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah 38, behold, it was for my welfare that I had great bitterness, but in love you have delivered my life from the pit of destruction, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. Listen, God is a spirit without body or parts. He doesn't have a back. But we commit our sins to his very face. But in mercy and grace, in compassion and love, he puts them behind his back and will not turn round to look at them. Claim that promise. Listen to what else Isaiah says in chapter 44. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. They're gone. They're blotted out. The mist is now going and gone. Claim that promise. Listen to the next verse in chapter 55. Well known to us all, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God wants to abundantly pardon your sin, to outrageously, overflowingly pardon your sin. Listen to the prophet Micah. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression? for the remnant of his inheritance. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. The deepest ocean, the Pacific, over 6 miles deep. But the ocean which God has is deeper still. He doesn't take the burden of our sin and then cast it into the sea. He takes it to the bottom of the sea and holds and buries it. Puts up a sign, no fishing. How glorious are these promises. In your heart, I'm hoping you're saying amen. Hallelujah. What grace, what mercy. Staggering. Paul writes, there is, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. I love that quote which says, it would tire the hands of angels to write down all the pardons that God bestows upon the penitent believer. I love that which says, God does not want us to remember what he is willing to forget. When God forgives, he consigns our sins to his everlasting forgetfulness. God doesn't forget, but he chooses to. Lay hold of the promises of God. And believe them. Walk in the light of them. No wonder the hymn writer said, my sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. No wonder John Newton said, when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there. He's made an end of all my sin. Hallelujah. Because the sinless Savior died, my guilty soul is counted free, for God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Amazing. Forgiveness of sins, its premise, the character of the triune God. Its promise, the keys of assurance. But number three, its practice. The practice is that the forgiven forgive. And their forgiveness is something biblical and essential and decisional and gradual and beautiful. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Remember the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, and it comes to this. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And the next verse says, if you don't, he won't forgive you. Remember the Simon Peter? He's a little bit like you and I, isn't he? He comes to the Lord. How many times should I forgive people? How about 7 times, Lord? That's a number of completion. That's a number of perfection. Should I forgive people 7 times? You know how they get on your wick. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, pittance. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. He refused. And went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servants as I had mercy on you? Let's leave it there. What a story. Oh, I'm desperate for you to forgive me, master. I forgive you. You owe me a penny. I'll choke you unless you give it me back. Hey, listen. Are you like that? I told the story of St. George and the Dragon. You know that pub? Been to the pub, St. George and the Dragon? There was a beggar person. Come to the door. Knocked on the door. The lady came to the door. Please, could you give me a meal? You? A meal? Look at you. You're filthy. You're in rags. You stink. You're a blot on my horizon. Go away. And she's walking down the path. Looks back. St. George and the Dragon. She goes back, knocks on the door. The lady comes. What do you want now? Well, I was wondering if I could speak to St. George instead. Hey, listen. The Christian church is full of dragons. Not just females, males and females. Dragons, hard as nails, harsh, narrow, negative, cynical, critical, and unforgiving. Don't be a dragon. No, the forgiven must forgive. It's biblical. What's more, it's essential. It's essential for your mental health and well-being. It's essential for your spiritual health and well-being. It's essential for your social and marital health and well-being. It's essential even for your physical health and well-being. Have you ever met the person who won't? I won't. They're choked to death and they become ugly in spirit. And their spiritual life dies. And not only is it biblical and essential, it is decisional. It's not on how you feel. You may feel like smashing him or smashing her. It's a decision. It is a choice. It is not a feeling. It is the choice to obey God. To conquer by forgiveness and by mercy and by love. And it's something gradual. You say to me, ah, but you don't know the sort of things that have happened to me. All the pain I've had in my life. All the people who've let me down. And listen, you don't know all the pain I've had either. And all the struggles I have either. We all struggle. There's no exceptions to that rule. Not one. It is a gradual process. Just like sanctification is a gradual process. It needs to be done daily. But it's also something beautiful. Because when a man or woman conquers by forgiveness and practices the forgiveness that they have received from the Savior himself, it makes that man, that woman, beautiful. Godlike, Christlike, spirit-like, attractive, compelling, beautiful. So maybe you're struggling with someone to forgive. Get a balloon. Write their name on it. Blow it up. Don't tie it in a knot. And then let it go. And pick it up again. Blow it up again. A bit harder. Let it go again. Blow it up again. Then tie a knot in it. And pretend you're Muhammad Ali and give it some bifters and start bashing it. And then go outside and let it go and say, Lord, Lord, will you give me the grace? I'm finding this hard. I'm finding this difficult. But I want you to make me a beautiful, Christ-like, God-like, spirit-filled forgiver. Or go on your computer and type the letter. Dear Joe or Susan, I hate you. You do me head in. You say this and you do that and you don't do this and you do that. And you let me down here and met my family down here and left me an emotional wreck at times. And then open your Bible to Ephesians 4, verse 30 and 32. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you were redeemed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, anger, wrath, clamor, evil speaking, and malice be put away from you. And be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Say, Lord, I want to forgive. Help me by your Spirit to forgive. Make me a beautiful, forgiving Christian. Make forgiveness your highest calling. Be a good forgiver. Be a quick forgiver. Please. As Jesus has forgiven us, so we must forgive others. I love that saying, which goes like this. We are most like wild beasts when we kill. We are most like men when we judge. We are like God when we forgive. And remember, we are part of a company, a congregation, a family of forgiven sinners. Do you know John Hambleton went to Australia, went to America, came back, riddled with guilt, came to the cross, found forgiveness and grace. Do you know what he did? He went to the docks, the Herculaneum dock, the Albert dock, and he did open-air preaching and said, there is a Savior for sinners. If God can forgive me, he can forgive you. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, not demands, shall have my soul, my life, my all. If you've never known the embrace of God's forgiveness, I plead with you today. Come to Jesus. Receive that kiss of forgiveness. If you are enslaved and in bondage by bitterness, come to Jesus and let it go. And grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing.